This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 770-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Right now there's a move of God going on Asbury campus, and Asbury is actually, and you may not, this may not mean anything to you, but a Wesleyan Holiness College. And that is the background that I grew up in, and there is a move of God that's taking place there. And I wanted to just share something from that this morning. And I want you to be a prayerful part of that revival. Now into its 11th day on Saturday, students following a chapel service, there was an eruption and a move of the Holy Spirit, and it's been going on. Saturday was the 11th, today is the 12th, and so there have been people being saved, people making confessions, relationships being healed and mended and restored. Hundreds and thousands, I believe, of people are coming from literally all over the world to go there to Asbury to experience what God is doing. And of course, you can watch it on live stream and you can tune into that. But when I looked at the news this morning, this startled and also sort of concerned me. This is the report today. We're experiencing a historic moment at Asbury University. Since our regularly scheduled chapel service on February the 8th, there has been countless expressions and demonstrations of radical humility, compassion, confession, consecration, and surrender to God. All spontaneous. No one is ordering this. No one is trying to make it happen. It is a sovereign response of God to the cries of God's people for an awakening in our nation and revival. We are witnessing what the Scripture describes as the fruit of the Spirit. There's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And as we enter the third week of this renewal movement, our desire is to be faithful to our mission as a student-centric Christian university. Further, we believe that the continued flourishing of such a movement invites us to commission our Asbury community, visiting students, other campus guests from across the world, to neighbor-serving, God-honoring work. Now, this is all of that is really exciting to me because this is the way God moves. God moves like this. Now, God can move in an old grump. I heard a preacher say one time, God loves a cheerful giver, but he will receive from an old grump as well if you put it in the offering. But God's looking for someone who has a cheerful heart, right? This is the work of God, and it is exciting to be in this kind of an atmosphere. However, listen to this. After much prayer and discussion with campus leadership, we've established a schedule for the upcoming week that is available on the university website. The final evening service, the final public evening service, will be held Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Now, I would like you to join me in prayer about something. Since man didn't start it, I kind of think that man shouldn't stop it. And I grew up with a bunch of wonderful born again and sanctified. Some of them were petrified, holiness people. And I was tutored by them that, you know, when it's time to take an offering, you start a song and you calm everybody down so you can get your offering taken. And when it's time to preach, you let a little rain fall on it. Now, I'm sure, Brother Wilson, you haven't experienced any of this. You're from the Assemblies of God, so that wouldn't happen. But, you know, because man likes to be in control. This is why many people have difficulty with the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the problem is that men like to be in control. Pastors like to be in control. Campus presidents like to be in control. They like to manage the schedule. I'll never forget the day that I was working on a great service order for God, for a service. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Jonathan, I am not going to request your wisdom in heaven for all of eternity to plan any worship events. And so I would advise you to quit trying to help me plan my worship events on the earth. If you would just submit to my Spirit and become a part of my plan, then you will experience a greater fullness of who I am in your gathering. And so I believe it's appropriate to pray that what God has started let not be stopped by men. Now, Lee University is a Church of God university, and they are also experiencing a move of God, and there's other universities that are experiencing a move of God, and this is awesome. And so I just rejoice to see God moving within the young people. Because how many of you know there are a lot of batons that are being passed right now? How many of you know Billy Graham is with the Lord? How many of you know Reinhard Bonnke is with the Lord today? How many of you know that a lot of those who 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago God raised up for a season have moved on to glory, and God is looking to ignite, I believe, a fresh, end-time, Holy Ghost-led, inspired, power-packed move of the Holy Spirit that will raise up new leaders that are equipped and qualified, not because they have degrees on the walls, but because they have fire in their soul. And because of the fire in their soul, they will be qualified to do the work of God. Because the work of God is not done by human strength. And you know the scripture, back when the Assembly still had a magazine, a Pentecostal Evangel, we don't even have those anymore. But we used to have those, but I guess maybe they think people are going to read everything online. But we used to have in that magazine, on every introduction or back cover, this scripture. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. My wife and I were visiting in a very large assembly some years ago, and we were shocked to hear the senior pastor get up and say, we will not, senior pastor said, we will not have words or messages in tongues and interpretation in our public services. That will take place in our small gatherings. And I looked at my wife and I said, God moved us to be a part of these people because they are a people that have said, it's not about us, it's about the presence and the power of God. And that's what moved us to where we are today. And I want you to know that in the assemblies, we still believe it's about the Spirit of God, but there are pastors among us that have said, as this one said, we're so large now that we don't, it's difficult to organize things like this. I want you to know that God does not need us to organize Him or to tell Him how He can move and how many people He can move in at a time. So my wife and I, we're not going back to the cemetery. I don't need to go back where I grew from. I want to grow forward to what God wants to do right now. And I want to be lifting up the hands of those who are willing to abandon all other agendas to seek the heart of God. Because I'm confident of this. that we can have great learning in the mind and have a pitiful drought in the spirit and our soul. And God is looking for us to cry out to Him for His Spirit to water our land again.
Yes, Lord.
And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let me tell you what I thought when I first attended an Assembly of God church. I thought, this is what we holiness people do at camp meeting. But they do it every week. Yeah. But I had learned that. I thought it was once a week. I went on Sunday. I said, these people are believing for miracles, signs, and wonders every time they get together. Said, I'm used to doing that 2, 3, 4 times a year, or maybe traveling and being in camp meetings. But these people, they believe that God should be alive in you every time you open up your eyes. And my wife and I decided we wanted to be with people who had a God who was alive 24 hours a day and every second of every day. We want to be with people like that, that believe God for that kind of an awakening and that kind of a move. Well, Sharon just shared some things that were on her heart. She was sleeping. She heard the Father speaking, revival. The revival's coming will come straight from the Ruach Kodesh, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will start falling on churches all over that are ready to receive. Were any of you around during the charismatic renewal? When the hippies came in, they came in right off the beach. They came in right out of their gatherings. They came from their concerts. They came with their drugs. They didn't look right. They didn't smell right. They didn't act right. They didn't know how to be dead and religious. But they were hungry for more than what they had. I believe once again we have a world that's sick of death and dying and wars and abuse and trafficking and gangs and murders and lying politicians and wicked leaders. I believe we have a generation that is tired of their homes being split and splintered and torn apart, not knowing who dad is and not knowing maybe where mom is and not knowing what the future's going to hold. I believe there's a new generation that's hungry for more. And we're not going to find it in the stained glass and the stone walls of yesterday's monument. We're going to find it on our knees and in the presence of a living God. And I'm confident that God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. I love that song we sing at Christmas. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Old familiar carols playing wide and deep. The songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then in despair I bowed my head. We don't need to have despair. A lot of bowed heads with despair this morning. Then in despair I bowed my head and said, there is no peace on earth, I said. But hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. One problem with that verse is that God's people are to be the resident manifestation of peace on all occasions. In the middle of a hurricane, the people of God are to be the manifest presence of God's peace. In the midst of COVID, we refuse to bow in fear and timidity as a church. We refuse to listen when they said, when you sing, you are contaminating one another. Well, then let's have more contamination in the house of God. There's plenty of contamination in the world. No one seems to be concerned about the elevated, escalated STDs in every age group. They have no problem dealing with all the wickedness and destruction in the world that's so contagious. They don't have a problem in pushing a homosexual or a lesbian agenda or an LGBT agenda or an identity crisis. They have no problem with that. But they had a problem with the church worshiping and singing songs to God. Do you know what the church, the real church, has always done? When the world said, you can't do that, they said, we will worship our God regardless of what the government says. I believe there's a stirring. There's a stirring. There will be two major church ministries, many small church ministries that will be called out and dealt with for major sins. Remember, the Word of God says judgment. I'm sharing what Sharon had, pieces of it. The Word says judgment is to begin at the house of God. Well, why not? Why not? Why wouldn't we want God to purify us? Why wouldn't we call out to God and say, God, bring the correction and direction that's needed in my life? Why would I not want that? Why would I want to continue going in the wrong direction or down the wrong road and not have God awaken me? You know, as parents, discipline is not to destroy, but it is to correct and direct. So yes, there will be some things shake out. Don't be shocked. Every move of God, there's some purging and cleansing that happens in the church. And we know that from the days of the apostles that the Word tells us that there were people involved in ministry for all different kinds of motives. Some did it for personal gain. Some did it maybe for personal fame. But as long as the gospel was preached, let the gospel be preached. And it's not my job to pull up all the weeds, but a day's coming when God can take care of the weeds. I need to make sure that I am sharing the seeds. Hello? We're to be seed sowers. I don't need to worry about the weeds. Yes, we will see some of these things. We will not be shaken by that. No longer the sins, the sheep, the wolves that are dressed up as sheep. And you know, that's the modern gospel. Make it gray, make it beige. As my friend and elder Ben, who's a part of our leadership, says, make it beige. Make it non-threatening. Don't rock the boat. God will rock the boat. He'll rock the boat. Those that have led God's people astray, God's watching. His eyes are open. God knows how to awaken His people, guide them and direct them, and take care of the spots and the wrinkles. This is a realm where the Holy Spirit works. And it's pretty awesome to know that God is able to reach those people you're praying for that seem to have no interest today. I too believe that many will come from all walks of life coming to salvation. See many stadiums filled with revivals. That was one of the early visions God gave me of this region. We were in a stadium that was filled with people. They had their hands raised and they were not looking at each other. They were worshiping God. God said, that's my desire on the Treasure Coast of Florida, to bring my people together to worship. So many younger people and people of all colors and countries will be praising and worshiping God in peace and unity. Amen. We came off our 40 days of fasting, but I encourage you to not lose the passionate pursuit of God. There isn't any reason that I can come up with or think of that would give just cause for us not to expect to have the same mighty move of God in our house and in our hearts and in our city as they're having any other place. Though I'm certainly not opposed to traveling to go to be a part of a move of God, I want to challenge you this morning that most of us will not be able to do that. So why not do the best thing, and that is let a move of God be taking place inside of you. Instead of trying to find the place where God started moving, why not say with me this morning, God, I just am making myself available for a whole new, fresh move of Your Holy Spirit right here in me. Right here in me. I remember that big mouth that was amongst the disciples, Simon Peter, who had an encounter through his weakness, through his failure. He had an encounter with God through his weeping and confessing. We don't have much of that in church anymore. I believe we're missing something. When I went to the altar, I was confessing. I didn't care who heard what. And it took me a while. I had a lot of confessing to do. And then when I got up, I had a whole lot more confessing to do. And over the years, I've had a whole lot more confessing to do. But the church used to be a place where people would be broken by the Holy Spirit and would realize how destructive and damning sin is and be moved by the Holy Spirit to get right with God. People would come and we had altars and they were called mourner's benches. You may have never heard that word. That's what they used to be called. Why? Because when an individual sees God and sees themselves in relationship to God, there is such a contrast between the pure and the holy from the wicked and the unrighteous. That great contrast moves us to cry out to God in brokenness and repentance. What do you think Peter's prayer was like when he went out? And the Scripture says he wept bitterly. Bitterly. Now you might point out to me that Judas also went out and wept. Two different Greek words. Judas wept. We don't know all of his thoughts. The Word doesn't give us all of his thoughts. We just know that he was directly receiving direction from the devil. That's what we know. And we know that Judas went out and wept. There are people that have what a judge one day said to me, this is jailhouse religion. A lot of tears and looking for a lot of peace and a lot of mercy when you show up before the judge. But as soon as you're past the judge, you go back to the old pig pen again. We know that Judas's weeping, whatever it was unrighteous and it was wicked, because from there he went and hung himself. But Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe if you could have found Peter, maybe he made his way down by the water where he had spent so much of his time. Maybe he slipped out in his little boat and rowed out by himself. Maybe he went over to the olive grove that he so many times had been with Jesus in when they had evenings of prayer. But I believe if you could have heard him, I believe Peter would have been saying, oh God, I don't know how I could have turned and ran and cursed that I did not even know Yeshua. God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. When was the last time that we gathered in a service where people responded to the Holy Spirit with that prayer? Not of the Pharisee. The Pharisee had a prayer. You remember his prayer? Oh, I thank you, God, that I'm not like these other people. I'm not like those sinners, you know, that are out rejecting you today. The Pharisee got up and he was very impressed with himself. But there was a sinner there that did not even dare to lift up his head. This is the result of revival. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit for heart to be awakened, that will realize only God's mercy and grace paves the way through the blood of Jesus Christ to come into the kingdom of God. And I can't choose the day or the time to do that by myself unless God touches my heart. I would not be moved unless God touches our city. Our city will not be moved. We can play religious games every day and have no impact on our region unless we have the presence and the power of God. I believe Peter stayed at that place of prayer until he prayed through. My mama used to talk about praying through. She would pray till she was exhausted. She would pray and continue to pray. And I would hear mom saying, even after she had Alzheimer's, she didn't even know that I was her son. I would come and find my mother in prayer. She didn't learn to pray like that when she was old. She learned to pray like that when she still had her mind. And I stood outside the door and I listened to my mother. And she's praying, now Lord, I want you to work in Linda's life. I want you to work in Larry's life. I want you to work in Jama's life. I want you to work in Adrian's life. I want you to work in Jonathan's life. And I'm standing outside the door listening to my mom, and my mom's saying, and Father, you know I didn't give birth to any of my children to populate hell. I brought them in. You gave them to me. Every one of them are going to be, they're going to be saved. They're going to spend eternity in heaven. Mama prayed that way. She prayed that way even after she had Alzheimer's. There were evenings when I never got to say hello to my mom because I stood at the door and listened for about an hour, and she never ran out of prayer time. If we're going to learn to pray, we need to start. Let me tell you, we don't need to know more up here about prayer. We need to experience more about prayer here, coming up out of the heart. All right, the message, yeah? Ooh. Somebody asked me this morning, what are you speaking on? I said, I'm speaking on worshiping God at midnight. Worshiping God at midnight. And it was my brother-in-law, we were talking on the phone as we were driving in this morning. He said, oh, that sounds like Paul and Silas. I said, yeah, that's it exactly. Because coming off of these days of prayer and fasting, what I've heard in my heart repeatedly is that God is listening to hear if we are going to be repeating His Word, and if we're going to be worshiping Him, and if we're going to be looking up, or if we're going to be consumed with the cares of this world. And when He listens in, it may sound a lot like Israel in the wilderness. Well, I don't know about that guy Moses, you know, bringing us out here to die. We had plenty of water back there, plenty of fish, plenty of garlic, plenty of onions. We had plenty of meat. We had plenty of. How is it that the enemy can remind us of everything except the bondage? You don't hear them complaining, oh man, we were treated miserable. We were used and abused. We were beat up. We were taken advantage of. No, because if you begin to talk about what God has done, then the timidity and the fear and the unbelief has to go someplace. And so if you focus on what God has done and is doing and is going to do, then you destroy the enemy's agenda.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you could do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.